This podcast is part of the Everyday Heroes Podcast Network, the network for first responders and those who support them.
A guy literally told me at work one night, he said, "Oh my God, you're so beautiful. You look like you drink tea." And I said, "What? I look like I drink tea."
Welcome to the Off Duty Podcast, the podcast where we interview the men and women of law enforcement and help you to learn about the person behind the badge. If this is your first time tuning in, thank you. My name is Anthony McNeil, retired police officer and your host. Let's get started. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode number 57 of the Off Duty Podcast. Once again, it's me, your boy, Anthony McNeil, back with another fantastic guest joining me on the podcast. I've been following this young lady online now for about a year, and I've been enjoying her content and seeing how she's out there humanizing the badge and just sharing her beautiful family. She has 3 years in law enforcement. She's from the state of Tennessee. She's also the CEO of the nonprofit 224. I'm happy to have joining me today, Miss Brianna McCarthy. Brianna, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. I appreciate you taking time out of your day to hop on the podcast with me.
Of course.
Now, for everyone that has listened to the podcast, you guys know how I lead each episode off, and that's very simply, why law enforcement?
I feel like I get asked this a lot. I don't know. I feel like I always wanted to be like Olivia Benson, you know, on Order SVU. But no, really, I went to Oregon State to get a degree in psychology, and I always wanted to work for the FBI, and I had my son in college, so I had to reroute that. So I was like, okay, how can I get there? So I became the police, and I love it.
Any other family members in law enforcement?
Yeah, I have a couple cousins that are law enforcement.
What was that conversation like when you told your parents you were thinking about joining the profession?
They were pretty cool with it because my family does have a law enforcement background and a military background. So I think they were pretty supportive.
Are you military?
No.
Okay. And you said you went to Oregon State?
Yes, I did go to Oregon State.
All right, cool. So you've now been in law enforcement for 3 years now. Is it what you thought it would be once you got into the profession?
I don't think it was what I thought it would be. It's a lot more report writing than I thought it would be. Like, I think when people think about being the police, they're like, yeah, you know, we can run and gun and go catch bad guys and all that stuff. Like, my son thinks that's what we do. Like, my son thinks that we catch bad guys all the time, which, you know, sometimes we do. But a lot of it, more of it is like sitting down. It's more admin. You know, it's more report writing. We have the joke, like, we're secretaries in the police car. I mean, that is really what it is. It's a lot of report writing. So it's not really what I thought it would be, but it's still fun. We have we have moments where we can still, you know, have fun.
Yeah, it's about 90% boredom and 10% excitement. But when the excitement comes,
hurry up and wait. It's a lot of hurry up and wait. That's a lot of what law enforcement is.
Exactly. When that 10% comes, though, it could be all hell breaking out. So,
right.
But it is a great profession. I enjoyed my 20 years, and I take my hat off to all you guys that's out there doing it now, because given today's times, I don't know if I could do it because I'm so old school. But just stay safe out there.
Changed.
Yeah, that's for sure. Now, I want to go ahead and get into before I get into the first segment, I want to ask you about your nonprofit, 224. Can you tell me a little bit what that's about?
Yeah, so my partner Hannah and I, we used to be, so the department we work for, we have wards. So like right now we're in a different ward, but before we were in our ward, it was called 224. And we met a group of kids that pretty much like, I don't know. I would say they really changed our lives and like our outlook on policing and just the way we go about everyday policing. Mm-hmm. And so we started our nonprofit because we just kept feeling like we were going to the same calls every single day and the same, my kid won't go to school, my kid's run away, you know, this and that. So it was the same call over and over again. And we just felt like we weren't making a big enough of a difference. So we were like, okay, how can we make a bigger difference and touch way more lives? So we're like, okay, let's start a nonprofit. So we started our nonprofit and we didn't know what to name it. So we named it 224 after the kids that really started it. So it's called 224 and we do a lot of different things. We haven't done anything in a year, which really hurts our hearts. But because of COVID, nobody wants to donate money when no one has a job. And we're in the middle of a pandemic. So it's hard. But we used to do backpack drives. We stuffed backpacks. We did a pancake breakfast during Christmas, and we stuffed the backpacks full of clothes, and we had some events where it was like more geared toward adults. So we did like Tito's and tacos, and we had like discounted drinks and food and all that stuff, and the cover fee went to the kids. So we were able to start a scholarship fund, and we opened up an office, and it's been really awesome. So we're looking forward to restarting and relaunching it, since now hopefully COVID is on the downhill. Hopefully we don't have to deal with it anymore. Because it was hard to, you know, deal with like, hey, let's have an event of 100 people, but everyone was done with capacity and this and that from the health department. So we just wanted to be safe and keep everybody healthy.
Now, you mentioned the kids change the way you view law enforcement. How so?
I think a lot of the times being a police officer, you know, when you see the same address pop up on the screen and you hear the same name on the radio, you start to get so annoyed and, oh, so-and-so ran away again, you know, and it's so much easier to just, okay, well, we found you. We'll put you back in your house and leave and never see you again, instead of really dealing with the issue. And a lot of those kids really do need just somebody just to listen to them, or they really do need some help. You know, a lot of them don't have a way to go to school, mm-hmm. you know, because their parents don't have a car. And when COVID hit really bad and they were giving the kids the laptops, a lot of them didn't have Wi-Fi. So a lot of them have a lot of different environmental problems going on in their lives that sometimes police officers, we overlook them. And it's really easy, especially when you're coming out of the academy, to be like, okay, I want to run and gun. I want to write a million tickets. I want to do that. I want to stat chase. I want to be that, you know, I want to be that guy. And that still is our job. But a lot of the problems that we see in society, I think, could be mended if we just take like the extra 10 minutes just to talk. And the kids is really where it starts. Because I'm not saying you can fix everybody, you know. Right. People that are like 40 years old, people probably my age, but just taking that extra 10 minutes just to talk to a kid, like you can make the difference in their life, and like whether they go down this way or they go down this way, or whether they tell somebody and ask for help when they need it. So it's changed my mindset a lot.
That's awesome. And I take my hat off to you for being so young in a profession to recognize that, because a lot of, like you said, a lot of guys would just, oh man, here we go again. You know, and right. just go and just drop the kids off and go on about their business, and then have to keep dealing with them over and over again. So I really take my hat off to you and your partner for recognizing that, because that is something that I think more officers, and I was guilty of it. Like I said, I was one of those very impatient officers, but it wasn't until I became a hostage negotiator that my whole attitude changed. And that's when I realized the importance of actually talking and building rapport with people. And I realized that that got me a lot further than the pound in my chest, I'm Mr. Police, do what I say, or you go to jail
right.
attitude, you know, right. which is what most yeah. of us have.
Yeah. And I mean, some of my partners might watch this and be like, hey, hold on, you don't have all the patience in the world. And I totally don't. I don't have all the patience in the world, but I do have a lot of patience for the kids. And that was our mission statement, was for low-income children. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, for the 40-year-old person who's calling a million times and they don't really want our help, or they don't really need our help. But it was definitely for the kids, because, you know, a lot of the situations that they're born into, it's not their fault, and they really do deserve a chance. So
I don't know if this will help you guys or not, but I have a podcast network, and one of the other podcast that's in my network is called Fund the First. And it's ran by a gentleman. He's a NYPD detective, Robert. I forgot Robert's last name. But Fund the First is a crowdsourcing platform strictly for law enforcement and first responders in the military. And I'm going to reach out to Robert, if you don't mind, and maybe you guys can get in contact and you can set up some type of campaign on there to help raise money for the nonprofit.
It'll be awesome.
Yeah, I'll put you guys in contact, and I'll reach out to him later today and see if you guys can hook up, and maybe there's something he can help you guys with.
Cool, yeah. I'm sure Hannah will be super excited about that.
Yeah. It's a great platform. It's kind of like GoFundMe, except for strictly for law enforcement and military, like I said, first responders.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I want to go ahead and get into my first segment. This is what I call Dig Deeper. And this is where I get nosy and I go poking around my guest's social media, and I find certain posts and I craft questions around those posts. All right. And the first post of yours that I came across, This was a carousel of pictures, and it looks like this was
Let me look while you look.
Okay, this was either the day you guys got engaged or soon thereafter, because it was a series of pictures of you showing your ring. And the caption was, the caption read, "Here's to making it look easy for the rest of our lives. Hashtag braid ties the knot." You remember that post?
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at it now.
Okay. And my first question around that post is, how did you guys meet?
So we met at work. He's also a police officer. So we met on Beale Street. I don't know if you, Memphis, Beale Street. I didn't know what Beale Street was because I'm actually originally from Oregon. So I didn't know what Beale Street was. So we met working in detail, and he started talking to me, told me to put my number in his phone. And then he told me, "I'm going to make me a wife, and you're going to have my babies." And here we are, like 2.5 years later. His mom is like, "You can't tell people that." And he's like, I don't tell people that. I just told her that. I don't know why. It just came out of my mouth. So that's how we met.
You know what's funny about that? My wife and I, we've been married now for 28 years. And the day that we met, we were not supposed to meet. We were at a club, which is where I said I would never meet my wife. She was actually, she had just turned 21, but she didn't have any ID because her purse was stolen the day before. She had just broke up with her previous boyfriend like 2 days prior, so she didn't want to go out. Her girlfriends dragged her out. I just happened to be going out that night because my buddy called me because he was moving to San Francisco the next day and wanted to go out and have a drink. Long story short, we go to the club. He and I are buying drinks for each other all night. And she comes in and she gets separated from her friends, and they cross and she and I cross paths, and I just grabbed her hand, and just like your husband, I knew that night she was going to be my wife.
Right. Yeah. And see, that's what they say. They just know. They just know.
It's something in your gut that just tells you, you know, that's awesome. What's one thing that you do that drives him crazy?
I think we argued this morning, so you could probably ask him that. Let's see. What do I do that drives him crazy? Let me try to think.
Are you guys both alpha personalities?
Yes. Yes. You know, that's probably what it is. Me being hard-headed and us both being alpha. Because we are both police officers. And, you know, so it's like two bulls in our house. Some people are ready to back down when someone's like, "Hey, I have a problem. Let's argue." And I think both of us are like, "Hey, what's up? You have a problem?" You know? So we're always ready to fight.
Yeah.
We're always ready to go from 0 to 100 in like 30 seconds.
That's funny. What's the silliest thing you guys have argued over?
Okay. Like when he kills a bug, if the bug's on the wall, he'll just leave the bug. And it drives me insane. So there's like dead bugs on the walls. Like it's disgusting. I'm like, okay, if you kill the bug, wipe it off. It's not hard. Like, I don't get it. I don't just kill the bug and wipe it off. Like, we actually be walking around these dead flies and mosquitoes on the wall. I don't understand that. And
he sounds just like my wife.
Yeah. It's so annoying.
Oh man. I want to ask you about another post here. Okay, this was a picture from Mother's Day of you and your son, and you were at a lake in Oregon. And the caption was, "Every Mother's Day, I turn into a crybaby thinking about how much we've been through and how far we've come together in just 4 years." What's your son's name?
His name is Griffin. Okay. His Samoan name is Tomatoa. So that's why sometimes I go back and forth for them.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I pronounced it right. My little Tomatoa, thank you for being everything I never knew I would need. God has given us a pretty hard battle so far, but I promise our love will always win. Happy Mother's Day to all the warrior mamas. You recall that post?
Yep, I do.
Okay. And my first question about that post is, can you share what the post is about?
Yeah, so I wasn't ready for that one, Anthony. I mean, every Mother's Day, I really do. I'm not super emotional, but I think like when Mother's Day hits, it just gives me some time to reflect on how far we really have come. I was a single mom for a long time. And if anybody's ever been a single mom or really a single parent, because there are real single dads out there, that's hard in general. Like being a single parent is I think that's one of the hardest jobs you could have. I think being a parent is the hardest job, and then doing it by yourself is even harder. But yeah, we had a string of, I'd say, bad luck for probably about 2 years. And that part's pretty deep. But, you know, you go through life and you meet people. But we had a string of bad luck for about probably 2 years. And it took a while for me and Griffin to figure out, you know, what we're going to do. And so I went to the police academy, and it was us. And I was still a single mom. And then until I met my now fiance, you know, it was pretty rough. So I'm proud of where we are now. And I'm proud of the life we've built together, all of us as a family, and continuing to build.
I'm a firm believer that everything that happens to us in life, good, bad, or otherwise, is for a reason. And I just had this conversation with my last guest, and he was telling me about growing up, how, you know, he went through the foster child system and all of that stuff, and how hard it was. And, you know, like I told him, that's your testimony.
Right.
That's what's going to help you with those kids that are going through that when you come in contact with them as a cop. And, you know, everything that you've gone through, then, you know, that's something that you can use when you're out there. Because unfortunately, it's something that we deal with a lot in law enforcement, our single parents. And I've told this story 10,000 times, and I hate telling it again, but but the story, I think, is so impactful, and it always seems to tie back into every time I have a guest on and a conversation like this comes up. And I don't know if you've heard this, but my last 5 years, I end up having to work inside because of some health issues. Mm-hmm. And I had to work the front desk, which I absolutely hated. And anybody that's listening to the podcast that have heard this story, I apologize for telling it again. I promise this is the last time I'm going to tell it on the podcast, but I hated working that front desk because, one, I was forced to do it, and I was going through my own challenges with my health. And one day I walk in, and this lady comes in with her 12-year-old son and her mother. And she says, "I'm leaving him here. I can't control him. He hits me. He hits my mom. I'm done with him. You do whatever you want to do with him." I was already having a bad day. I took this young man aside and I looked at him and I go, "Hit me." He starts clenching his fist and starts crying. I go, "What are you crying for? I'm going to give you one swing, then I'm going to wear your ass out."
Yep.
Long story short, we end up talking for about 30 minutes. And it was the typical, you know, story. No male figure in his life. Mom was doing the best she could do. And my last thing I said to him was, "Look, I don't know you. You don't know me. But if I get an inkling that you put your hands on another human being, I will personally track you down and beat your ass." And that was probably about 9 months before I retired. The day that I retired, they were throwing a party for me in the station, and he and his mom came in, and she brought me a card and gave me a hug and said, "I just want to say thank you. Because since that day you talked to my son, he's been a totally different child. He's doing better in school. He's more respectful, blah, blah, blah." And that's when I realized that the 5 years that I went through of hell with my health, it was all for that moment. Mm-hmm. You know, during those 5 years, being in that position, I thought it was the worst thing that happened to me in my life. But that day made it all worthwhile. And again, I just say everything that happens to us happens for a reason. Sometimes we never know what that reason is. Other times it's clear as day. So your past is part of your story. It's your testimony. And you can use that to help others. So that's my little soapbox on that. So,
I totally agree. Like, life experience, I think it makes us who we are as police officers, and it helps us. I mean, I think I'm definitely a sucker for single moms. Like, if I pull one over and I see that they're a single mom, or they tell me, I'm like, "Oh, okay, sorry." Mm-hmm. And that'll write them a ticket.
Now, this next question has nothing to do with the post, but since I see it, what's the tattoo on your wrist?
Oh, man. That one. So when we met on Beale Street, my fiance and I, we met in front of 152 Beale. And so we both got it tattooed on us.
Nice.
Yeah. I never thought I would meet my husband at 152 Beale. If you have time, you should look it up. It's also a club.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I'll definitely check it out. I will definitely check it out. One more question about that post. Other than Mother's Day, what makes you cry?
Oh, well, when I was pregnant, I used to always cry at the St. Jude commercials. Those really got me. What else makes me cry? Kids on calls that, you know, when they have to go to DCS, that really, I think it's just kids in general. I think I have a soft spot for the kids. I don't know if it's just because I'm a mom now. I used to never cry. I think it is probably because I'm a mom now, but kids going to DCS that, you know, we'll do the whole call, be there for 12, 16 hours with this long call where someone, you know, it's a homicide and the kids have to go to DCS because nobody wants to take them. Mm-hmm. And then people don't realize, you know, after that, like, we'll go home and cry.
Yeah. Now, being a mom, has it changed the way you do the job?
I've been a mom since I came on the job, but I can imagine because, you know, some of my partners don't have kids. So I see sometimes the way, not that they're doing anything bad, but I think I can sometimes, if someone's acting like a toddler, I think I have more patience. I think I'm the person that can stand up and lean against my car and look at them like, are you done? Because I have that at home. Like I have a 4-year-old at home. So I'm like, okay, we'll put you in timeout. I'm just going to stand there and kind of watch you. When you're ready to talk like an adult, we're ready. So I think so. I mean, I think it being a parent has given me more patience. At the same time, the same token, because like I said, I was a single mom for a long time and I did have to do that work. I think I lose a lot of patience when people aren't making the best decisions for their kids. Because we see that all the time, right? Like,
yeah,
people are making bad decisions and they're not thinking about their kids. That's why I have no patience.
Yeah, I hear that. I want to ask you about one more post. And this was a picture of you and three young girls standing next to your patrol car. And the caption was, little girls with dreams, become women with vision, mixtape dropped in 2020. You recall that post?
Yes, I do.
All right. My first question, what was 15-year-old Brianna like?
Oh, she was a little weird. I had went through definitely like a weird stage. I had braces. I had like side swoop bangs. I'm pretty sure I cut myself. 15, you know, I have the last birthday in my graduating class. So I was way younger. I couldn't drive yet. I was weird. I was dancing then. I was on the dance team. Yeah, I went through a weird stage.
Sounds like a typical teenager.
Yeah. Yeah, I was definitely awkward.
If you could go back, what advice would you give 15-year-old Brianna now, knowing what you know now?
Always follow your gut. Yeah. Always follow your gut. Follow your dreams. And then everyone always says, like, follow your first mind. And I think there's a lot of truth to that.
Mm-hmm. For sure. What's your vision for the future?
I think just to be happy. I mean, I think it's really easy in this, you know, well, in life in general, but then also when you're a police officer and then when you're two police officer household to get caught up in, you know, so much negativity. And especially because, you know, people don't call 911, people don't call the police to say, hey, we just want to call and hang out. You know, they call when they're like in distress. It's like the worst day of their life. So you're like seeing someone's worst day of their life every single day. And it's really easy for us to get caught up, you know? I mean, materialistically, I want like another dog in the future, some more kids, a big house, but overarching, like my goal in life is just to be happy, just to be content.
Do you guys work at the same department?
We do. We work the same department, the same shift. We just work different precincts.
Okay. Now, when you guys get home, are you guys able to leave the job at work?
Yeah, we don't sit and talk about work like constantly because that would just be annoying. But it helps that we both understand what we deal with all day. And we know a lot of each other's partners, so that helps. But I say we can both tell, like, you know, if he's had like a homicide that day and I've heard it on the radio, or I've had it, or we're filling each other in, or I've had a critical scene. Like, I think we both can understand, like, when we get home, it's not going to be like, hey, let's talk for an hour. You know, it's just kind of like, let's take 10 minutes, let's chill. But our thing, I think, we just did it last night, you know, get off work, come home, sit there, have a drink, chill for a second, and then maybe talk. And then, we do a debrief, and then sometimes we sit there and we're like, I can't believe this happened. And
last question I want to ask you about that post. Who dropped the mixtape?
Nobody dropped a mixtape, unfortunately. Okay. And you know, in high school, I used to make these raps for my friend. Shout out to Kirsten. But no, I used to make these wraps like for my friend.
Give us 16 bars.
No. No. I'd have to have some music and I don't have a beat. But no, unfortunately, nobody dropped a mixtape.
All right. Did you have a rapper's name?
No, but you know, and it's Breonna McCarthy. So I guess the name on my iPhone is BMAC.
Okay.
So I could use that.
I want to get to the next segment here. This is what I call Random 7. These are just seven totally random off-the-wall questions. I don't know what they are until they pop up. So try to answer them the best you can, okay?
Okay.
All right. The first one. What do you consider yourself an expert at or really good at?
I guess being a mom. Probably okay. Being a mom. I feel like I'm a pretty good mom. I got it down. I have 4 years under my belt. Maybe not an expert, but I'm pretty good.
You can get the job done.
Yeah. I keep it alive.
Next question. If you could have a themed birthday party, what would the theme be?
Oh, Moana, 100%.
What is it?
Moana, the movie, the Disney movie Moana.
I'm 55, but my kids are grown.
You don't know what the Disney movie Moana is?
No.
Oh, my gosh. You had to look it up. It's the first Polynesian princess that they had as a Disney princess.
I'm going to have to look it up. My Disney days are over. I used to watch every Disney movie that came out, but now the kids are grown.
Yeah, the one with the rock in it.
I couldn't even tell you what it was.
You had to look it up, but that would be it because she had a pet pig. The Rock was in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll take your word for it. I'm going to have to look it up. Next question. Where do you lack discipline in your life?
If I say, okay, I'm going to juice for a week. Like, I can't do that. I tried that. I can't. I have to eat, especially at work. Like, so I could never be like one of those people. Oh, I'm juicing for 10 days. Like, I tried that and I still had to eat. Like for some, I have to like chew it. Like I have to chew, even if it was like me eating the apple, I had to chew it. I have no discipline when it comes to like food at all.
But you're in pretty good shape. You work out?
Yeah, we work out. We work out a lot. Like that's where I have a lot of discipline is working out. But yeah, probably eating and drinking.
Got you.
I love a good bottle of wine.
Yeah. What's your favorite?
I like Merlot. I'm from Oregon. Okay. So, you know, we call like the Willamette Valley wine country. It's kind of like, I think it's part of the culture.
As a matter of fact, I did see a picture or one of your posts. You said something about wine country.
Yep. I was in wine country. I love a good Merlot, a good Pinot Grigio. Yep.
I told you I get nosy. So I do a lot of poking around on social media. Next question. If you had a full year off with pay, what would you spend your time doing?
Traveling.
Yeah. Where would you go?
I keep seeing people post about like the Maldives. I'd probably do that anywhere nice and warm, Greece, but definitely travel everywhere.
Have you guys done a lot of traveling?
Not internationally, but we've had a pretty busy summer just staying in the States. We went to Oregon, we were in Georgia, Florida, we were in Alabama, Mississippi. We stayed close, but I feel like we moved around a lot.
Yeah, we just got back from Aruba about 2 weeks ago.
Nice.
And I did not want to come back. It took everything in my power to get back here, but we had to come back to reality, unfortunately.
Right.
Next question. What does success look like for you?
I think I would want to make money while not working too hard and being happy. Being happy, working, not working too hard. Being able to come home, you know, take the days off when I want. I think an easy, mellow life. That's what success looks like to me. Just being happy.
If you weren't doing police work, what would you be doing?
I wanted to be a judge for a long time. Now, after being the police, I think I would, I've always wanted to write a book. I still want to do that. So if I ever stopped being the police, I think I would write my book and then I would try to maybe go to school again and get my master's and maybe get into the field of psychology again.
Yeah. What do you want to write a book about?
My crazy life. my crazy now, life.
Now, you know, I'm tempted. You got to elaborate.
It's just too crazy. It's too crazy to talk about, Anthony. That's why I have to write it. Like, you know, okay. It's like, if I said it, you wouldn't believe me. So I have to write it. And I even thought about maybe I'd sell my life story to Lifetime. Maybe they would make a movie. I don't know. So then I started to ask my friends, like, hey, who do you want to play you in my movie when I sell it to Lifetime?
All right. I'll wait for the book.
Yeah.
next question. What's the most embarrassing or worst thing your parents ever caught you doing?
My parents were actually really bad at catching me do things. They thought I was a golden child for a long time. They still kind of do. Child? No, I have a younger sister. Okay. Okay. And they didn't really catch me doing anything. I think the only thing that I ever got in trouble for was because somebody called the police because I put like some mean notes on their car. And that was in middle school. Yeah, my parents like never caught me doing anything. Also, I'm scared of my parents. Like my mom is 100% full-blood Samoan woman. And imagine like the Rock, but in a woman's body. Like I'm scared of my mom. I didn't do anything really. And if I did, they never caught me.
Yeah, that's a good thing. It's a good thing. Kids, you're supposed to be afraid of your parents. They're not supposed to be your best friends. You're supposed to have some fear from your parents.
I'm scared of that woman.
Last question. What's the worst pickup line you've ever heard?
Oh, you look like you drink tea. That's what a guy told me.
I still,
all the female officers get the, oh, arrest me. Oh, take me to jail. And you're like, okay, yeah, we get it. Come on. But a guy literally told me at work one night, he said, oh my God, you're so beautiful. You look like you drink tea. And I said, what? I look like I drink tea. What does that even mean? And like that, he had already had me intrigued by that. So I was like, maybe this is the point of it. But he was like, yeah, you drink tea. Like you look healthy. Like you look like you drink green tea. And I was like, I've never heard that. So I came home to my fiance and he was like, what? No, what the hell?
Okay. Yeah. Oh man, tea. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Brianna, I want to go ahead and get to the last segment. This is what I call this or that. This is my rapid fire round. I'm going to give you two topics. You simply have to choose one. You don't have to explain why. Don't think too much about it. All right?
Got it.
All right. The first one, organized or messy?
Organized.
Marilyn Monroe or Madonna?
Madonna.
Shop online or in store?
Online all day.
Cash or credit?
Credit.
Curly or crinkle cut French fries?
Crinkle cut.
Receive advice or give advice?
Receive.
Social media or social event?
Social event.
Puppies or kittens?
Puppies. I have one.
What kind?
A pit. He's 12 weeks.
I love pits now. My daughter has one, and I hated pits up until they got theirs. And now I love them. I absolutely love them. My man, Rudy.
They need so much attention.
Big time. Two more here. Screen calls or just answer?
Screen them.
And the last one, sense of humor or sense of style?
Sense of humor.
Awesome. Brianna, listen, I appreciate you taking time out of your day to come on the podcast with me. If you can do me a favor, please, if you can just share your social media so people can go over and check you out and see what you got going on and follow you and all that good stuff.
My Instagram is at Brannasaurus. It's Brannasaurus.
What's the meaning behind that?
Oh, my friends in high school used to call me Brana. And then I don't know where the Brontosaurus came from, but that's what it is. It's been that way for a long time. So, yeah.
Is there a website or anything for 224?
There is. It is 224.org and it's spelled out. No numbers. It's the words 224.org.
Okay, guys, I'm going to put links to all that down in the show notes. So please go over and check out Brianna, see what she has going on. Make sure you go over and check out our nonprofit and donate some money. Help her out. Help those kids out. Any last words before we get out of here?
No. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, for sure. Again, I appreciate you taking time out. Guys, just real quick, you've probably heard by now, but I have a new social platform for law enforcement officers and supporters called the LEO Hub. If you have not checked it out, make sure you go over and sign up. It's free to sign up. We have some good conversations going on over there. I put the platform together because I was tired of all the big guys, the Facebooks and the Instagrams and all these other platforms blocking content that you put out and all of that other stuff, not to mention the anti-policing nonsense. So this is a platform just for us. Go over to the leohub.com and you can sign up for free. And everyone that signs up gets a free $100 restaurant voucher that you can use at over 55,000 different restaurants across the country. And on that note, I am out of here and I will see you guys on the next episode. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.